Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
Have you been taught that the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, have been abolished, that they were nailed to the stake, nailed to the cross? What did Paul mean in Galatians 3? Did he say that we are cursed when we keep the Ten Commandments? And in Acts 15, did the church decide that Christians don't have to keep the commandments and can still be saved? Let's take a look at Galatians 3, where Paul is speaking about the works of the law. We will also look at Acts chapter 15 to see what law was being discussed in that chapter. So let's take a look here now at Galatians 3, beginning in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, when it talks about the law of Moses, we can't just single out and say, well, it's only the Ten Commandments. No, there were many other sacrificial and ritual laws that's in the law of Moses, as it is spoken of. It says, works that had to be performed are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them, that is, the ritual and the sacrifices, shall live by them. That is, God did not kill them as long as they lived within the sacrificial system. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now anyone who did not continue in everything which was written in the book of the law, including the regulations pertaining to washings, rituals, and sacrifices, was cursed. Although the book of the law included, of course, the Ten Commandments and its spiritual statutes and judgments, it also included the physical works of the law, that is, the sacrificial system, as well as the death penalties for the violations of God's law. Paul's statement, then, that the law was added because of transgression, notice what it says there in Galatians 3:19, refers to that part of the law, or laws in the book of the law, which have to do with sacrifices and other rituals, as well as the curses or penalties for violating God's spiritual law. The law mentioned in Galatians 3:19 was added 430 years after God's covenant with Abraham. You can look back up in verse 17. It was added because of transgressions in verse 19. Now, this is the law that is speaking of that Paul was telling them that was no longer in effect. The Bible teaches that sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. We've been pounding that away on this program for some time. Sin is the transgression of the law, so says the Authorized Version, King James Version, because the people had sinned by transgressing the law of the Ten Commandments, as well as those statutes and judgments which embellish those righteous commandments. Another law was added, the temporary law dealing with sacrifices and other rituals. So the law was already in effect. The Ten Commandments, the statutes and judgments, were already in effect before God added this law of the sacrifices and the rituals and so on. We need to keep firmly in mind that the book of the law of Moses, sometimes refers to as the law of Moses, includes all kinds of laws. We must therefore be very careful not to draw hasty conclusions when we read about the book of the law in the New Testament. Again, we may realize, or we should realize, and we should analyze in context with particular and specific laws the author is talking about. For instance, we read in Acts 15 in verse 5, for some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them, that is, the Gentile converts that were becoming Christians, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. The context of this discussion shows us that they were not arguing about the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath, but whether circumcision and other rituals contained in the law of Moses were mandatory for Gentile Christians. But notice how this question was decided in the first ministerial conference in Jerusalem. Notice that it is James who is saying these words, who is speaking here. The same apostle who later talked about the Ten Commandments as being a package. You can read of that in James 2, verses 9 through 13, as we have done on this program before, saying that we are guilty of violating them all if we break one of the ten. One of the Ten Commandments, if you break one of them, you are guilty in violating them all. And this was years after they had the conference in Jerusalem that James spoke these words. Now here's what James has to say in Acts 15. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. You find that in Acts 15, 19 through 20. And you may want to read verses 28 and 29, which brings out the same thing. James was not talking about the Ten Commandments, but why does James specifically mention that the Gentiles must abstain from idols, sexual immorality, strangled meat, and blood? These four aspects in the law of Moses were mentioned here in connection with rituals and sacrifices. You can read of that in Leviticus 17. Gentiles would oftentimes drink blood with their sacrifices, or they would eat their sacrifices with the blood still in the meat, as happens when animals are strangled. Or they would commit fornications with the temple prostitutes, so that there would be no misunderstanding. The apostle and elders clarified to the Gentiles that those laws mentioned in the context of the sacrificial system were still valid and binding on them. Some claim that God abolished the entire law of Moses with all of its commandments, statutes, judgments, and regulations. They fail to realize that the law of Moses, or the book of Moses, or the book of the law, included both temporary ritualistic statutes and timeless spiritual commandments. They are ignorant of the fact that not the entire law of Moses was abolished. They don't understand what the Bible means when it talks about law. Neither do they grasp the difference between law and covenant, falsely teaching that they are identical and that the Ten Commandments were abolished when the Old Covenant was revoked. This biblical ignorance has caused a lot of harm, and those false teachers have deceived many whom have followed their destructive heresies. However, God makes it clear that they will have to give account for their wrong example as they live in sin and have noticed or have induced others to sin likewise. Let us briefly review then the question whether the Apostle Paul taught that we do not have to keep the Ten Commandments any longer. A careful study shows that this was not the case, and that Paul was not even accused by his enemies of teaching this. We read in Acts 21, verses 18 through 24, on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them. Pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and that they all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law." What law is this passage talking about? Is it the Ten Commandments? Certainly not. Notice that the specific context is circumcision, purification, and other rituals in connection with the making of a vow. Consider also what Paul actually did do when following the customs of the Jews. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. You can read that in verse 26. The reference to the law or the customs is solely in regard to that portion in the writings of Moses that dealt with sacrifices, washings, and rituals. In other words, the law that was added and not the Ten Commandments. The law that was added and not the Ten Commandments at all. Nor does it refer to the statutes and judgments which embellish the Ten Commandments. We might add here that it was, of course, not sinful for Paul to participate in these customs, although they were no longer required. Paul said that he became a Jew to the Jews in order to win some, 1 Corinthians 9:20. And although he had made it clear that circumcision was no longer required, he still circumcised Timothy for the Jews' sake in order not to place a stumbling block before them. When we refuse to keep the commandments, the Ten Commandments, that is, we sin. And the wages of sin is death, and we will suffer eternal death unless we repent of our sins and begin to walk in the way of righteousness. Psalms 119 and verse 172 says, all of your commandments are righteous. So if we have to walk in the way of righteousness, Christ warns and rebukes all of those who teach that the Ten Commandments are done away with. This is not a light matter in the eyes of God. He says in Matthew 5 and 19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Pretty plain, isn't it? Revelation 22 and verses 14 and 15. I want to read that to you here. Revelation 22 verses 14 and 15. This is the last book in the Bible, and this is the last chapter in that book. God says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexual immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. So God says, blessed are those that keep his commandments, for outside are those that don't keep his commandments, is what he was saying here. Yes, God was still teaching the commandments right at the end of the Bible here. Why would God want to do away with something that is so good, that's so pure, that's so lovely, that's so wonderful, that is a way of life that could be appreciated? Wouldn't you like to live in a community, in a state, in a county, in a nation, in a world where everybody kept the commandments? Where you wouldn't have to worry about anyone stealing what you have, coveting what you have, committing adultery with your spouse, stealing or robbing or worshiping idols? Wouldn't you like to live in a community like that? Well, my friends, it's coming. It's not here today, but it would be good if it were, wouldn't it? But it is coming. God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ back to this earth, and he's going to establish such world, and it's not too far off in the future, and you could be getting ready for it. That is, if you're willing to live by what God says. Yes, my friends, Christ, Peter, James, John, nor Paul, neither did any of those men teach that the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross or abolished in any other way. If you would like to understand more about the true Christian way, then we invite you to call toll-free 1-800-611-8080 for our free article, The Narrow Way. The Narrow Way. There's no cost, no obligation, no follow-up. Just dial 1-800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.